Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can he give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you. Saint Pope John Paul II, every opportunity had, he reminded us that the Holy Eucharist is the source and summit of our lives. The source of our lives. Whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup will have eternal life. He says it is our summit of our worship, our opportunity on earth to encounter Jesus Christ in such an intimate way that we can actually eat of him and be transformed into him. The Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, is one of the greatest mysteries of our faith. And remember what I tell you about mysteries. The greater the mystery, the greater the need. The harder it is to fathom with our senses, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, the more important it is and necessary for us. For God would not reveal himself in a way that was so magnificent if it wasn't to make us into what he desires us to become, the true image and likeness for which he has created us. And when we think of mystery, it's important for us to see it as it is. So often, we can confuse it with something that we call magical. And magic and mystery are the opposite ends of the spectrum. Magic is something that appears to be but really is not. And that is what grabs everybody's attention. Mystery is something that appears impossible to be, but really is. When I was young, I wanted to be a magician, so I sent for one of those magic sets that was on the back of a cereal box. And I couldn't master any of the card tricks, but the one that I loved the most was simple, was that little jug of water, right? So the little jug of water, you filled it with water, and then when you had all your audience there, you would pour the jug into the glass. No more water in the jug. Then you would sit the jug down and you would take your magic wand and you would tap it three times. You'd pick it up and all of a sudden there was more water. Magically, water appeared in this little jug. Now, of course, you know that there was two chambers within the jug, and when you sat it back down, it drained into the main container. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm ruining the trick for you. I guess that's why I never became a magician, because I can't keep a secret. And more water comes out. What appeared to be that more water came magically was not what happened at all. Just as the old coin trick, right? You know, you pull a coin from Joyce's ear. Appears that I pulled it right out of her ear, but all along I was just palming it in my hand. So magic is something that we see with or experience with our senses. It seems to be real, but really it is not. Mystery is something that appears that can't be, but is. And that's what the Eucharist is. And that's the beauty of the Eucharist, and that's the beauty of the mystery, is that we see bread and we see wine. Our senses tell us by sight and smell and taste that it's bread and that it's wine. But all along we know the appearances remain, but the substance has been changed completely and fully into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because Jesus told us, unless we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we can't have the life within us that brings us to eternal life. It's impossible, he says. And the Jews quarreled among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And as you read through chapter 6 of John's gospel, we know that Jesus is talking about himself as the bread of life after he had already sustained him with the loaves and the fish. And he said, if you like that, if you like that, I can feed you. I want to feed you spiritually. I want to give you the source of life, which is me. And so at that time, as we read on in the sacred scriptures, many left Jesus at that time. And Jesus would say to his disciples, will you also leave me? And Peter steps up to the plate and he says, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You have the truth. Where would we go? Where would we go? And what Peter was really saying was, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to have us eat your flesh and drink your blood, but you have the words of eternal life. You will do it and provide it in a way that we can. And he has. In this great mystery. Because the bread and the wine symbolize him as the sacrifice for which is necessary for us to participate. His blood is the covenant of our redemption, the very sacrifice that we offer on the altar as the lamb. That those who partake in it, just as in the Passover meal, will be protected from death, will be given life. What's so awesome about what you and I do here is the source and summit of our lives, the reason why you get up every morning on Sundays and come here, and believe me, I never take that for granted. The worst nightmare came true during COVID when nobody could be here. To walk into church, I never take for granted the effort you make to be here. But the reason we do it, because St. Thomas Aquinas says that sacrament allows us to step outside of ourselves, outside of time and space. He says sacrament points to the past while we're in the present and points to the future. So how does the Eucharist do that? Well, as we celebrate the sacred Mass, as we receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, it points us back, or if you will, takes us to the time of the Last Supper when Jesus instituted this great gift. This is my body. This cup, this chalice is my blood. And Thomas Aquinas says it also points to the future of the kingdom of God in heaven when we will share at his table in eternal life. And that's what's happening when we celebrate Holy Eucharist. Because it is necessary as the source and summit of our lives. It's not a symbol. It's not something like receiving him as if we're doing it in memory. It is truly Christ Jesus. For what that is necessary for our lives to be transformed into the perfect image for which He has created us. It is the food on the journey that will sustain us through the cross, through the sufferings of our lives, and bring us into His divine presence. So what should be our mission today as we celebrate the body and blood of Jesus Christ? I think it should be that we renew within ourselves the awareness of what we celebrate. We're human. We get distracted. We take things for granted. You turn on a light switch, the lights come on. You turn off the TV, the Pirates are losing. But sometimes we come to sacred mass and we forget what we're really doing in essence of the Eucharist. So I think that our mission should be to renew within ourselves those simple, devotive acts of piety. See, piety always has to follow the awe and wonder of something so great that we need to respond with reverence to remind ourselves that this is not just an everyday simple thing, but it is divine. And I think that we need to renew that reality when we walk into the Catholic Church, that the Blessed Sacrament is present. And that before we enter into our pews, we make ourselves very small by genuflecting, "My Lord and my God," as all servants would do before their king. And as you get older and that becomes more difficult to do, a deep bow before you enter into your pew. There's no hurry to enter into your pew. If there's people waiting for you to genuflect, let them wait. If you're a couple minutes late, don't be embarrassed. Make that act of faith. When we come forward to receive Holy Communion, I think this is something that we really need to focus on again, is that we make a throne for Jesus Christ. And I remember somewhere along my journey, someone told me, you should walk the communion line, waiting to receive Him. Holding your hands this way, instead of folding them, hold them ready to receive. And when you receive, say amen audibly, not only for the minister to hear, but for yourself to hear. This is what I believe. And then when you receive Him, thank Him for that gift of the Holy Eucharist. Ask Him to help you to allow Him to be your source, to be the summit of your life, so that no matter what happens when you leave here today, you have everything that you need. And I promise I will do the same. We are the body of Christ. And as we receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, we become uniformed in that body and that image of Christ Jesus. And in the period of time that I was at my worst in regards to my illness and being on chemo and not feeling good, some people have suggested, well, you know, Father, you could just say a private Sunday Mass. I never missed a single Mass because I needed to be with you, the body of Christ. Just imagine when you receive Holy Communion, you have an intention that you need to raise up to God, and everybody is receiving and raising that same intention. That's what we call the source. And each Sunday through that time was a summit that allowed me to continue knowing that, you know, we were joined in that one gift that no one else could give us, Christ Himself. So never take that lightly, especially when you're suffering something and you feel you're angry at God, or you feel that, you know, even you don't deserve to be a part of His love because of your life. Remember, you are so important. Every one of you who come here to offer sacred Mass with us together, because that's how we become Christ Jesus for others.